Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. And joining me in studio this morning is Reverend Bart Day. He's Executive Director of the Office of National Mission here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and also Executive Board Member at Large for Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. Good morning, Pastor Day. Good to have you in studio today.
Good morning, Andy. It's always great to be here.
It's nice to actually get you in the studio. I know you're a busy guy and I always see you passing by, going to important meetings. So it's nice that we get some time with you this morning to talk about LIRS, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. Now, you serve as Executive Board Member at Large. What does that mean?
I'm just really a board member. It sounds a whole lot fancier than it is, but it has been a great privilege to serve on the board of LIRS to keep some connection, a close connection at the board level with LIRS. There are a few of us LCMS folks, I think four or five of us now, that actually serve on the board of directors, which keeps us a good connection so that we can share the message of LIRS and the work that they're doing really with the congregations and schools and workers in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So it's been a great privilege. It's been a big learning curve to find out all the work that they do, and I certainly don't know and understand everything, but it's been a wonderful experience so far.
Now, we talk about LIRS quite a bit here at KFUO, and they're one of our partners, and glad to share their story when we can. But for our listeners who don't know what Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service is, can you give us kind of a brief summary of what LIRS is and what they do?
Sure, I'll try. Starting really all the way back in 1939, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services was started as a ministry of the church, able to really walk alongside a lot of folks, the kind of post-World War II Germans and Eastern Europeans who were coming to the United States, many of them Lutherans, many of them having family connections and ties here. And LIRS served a very important role at that time in helping those people come into the United States to be able to welcome them here. Over the years, though, that has certainly changed. I think it's safe to say that LIRS has sort of taken up the task when they decided that they were going to serve more than simply Lutherans, sort of post-World War II. There are a few major kind of historical shifts, I think, that really happened for LIRS. The first one was in the early 1970s, when we had a large number of unaccompanied minor refugees coming out of Southeast Asia into the United States. LIRS at that time really stepped up to work with the federal government in the United States to create an unaccompanied refugee minor program. And LIRS was instrumental in that work in the 1970s. In the mid-80s, we hear a lot about the lost boys and girls from the Sudan. LIRS was at the table during all of that, helping to resettle those boys and girls that were coming really out of refugee camps. And some of them had been there for several years out of a horrible war-torn situation. And so LIRS worked, kind of morphed then. And in the 1990s, they have certainly, I think, sharpened their focus on concerns for asylum seekers and other people who have been kind of impacted by detention. The detaining of refugees and asylum seekers and victims of human trafficking and all the rest is something that not many people know about in the United States. And in fact, I think when people find out about the way we detain people, it even becomes a bit unsettling for Lutherans trying to figure out why we're maybe detaining folks who don't necessarily need to be detained. LIRS played an important part in that work in the 1990s, and they actually started up an organization that is now a separately incorporated 501c3, the Detention Watch Network, working with detained torture survivors, creating a legal support network for them. And that organization is now celebrating its 10th anniversary, or just celebrated its 10th anniversary in the last year. So this is the 75th anniversary of LIRS, and I think it's an exciting time. Synod and Convention recognized their work and said we want to lift up the 75th anniversary that LIRS has been a partner. It's a pan-Lutheran organization with the ELCA, the LCMS, the Latvian Lutherans, serving Lutherans broadly in the United States. And for their 75th anniversary, the LCMS, I think, really wants to find greater ways to connect the work of LIRS and their work of welcome with local congregations and our members who can serve an important, they can serve a very important role in welcoming those immigrants, refugees to the United States.
Why is this important to Lutherans? Why is reaching out to immigrants and refugees important to Lutherans?
I think it strikes at the heart of who we are as Lutherans and our identity, and that we are going to share the love and mercy of Christ with our neighbor, especially those who are in great need. Mm-hmm. These people are looking for a home. Many of these folks have been pushed out of their homes. They feel unsafe. They're from war-torn areas. Some of these folks have been trafficked, which I know KFU has spent a lot of time talking about, the whole human trafficking work that Synod partnered with LARS back in 2010 on to prepare, you know, share information with congregations. So I think it really strikes at the heart of kind of love and mercy and compassion. Now, there's no doubt, Andy, that this becomes kind of an edgy topic for LCMS folks. How do we balance the legality of the law, having a safe country, recognizing those who come in what we would say maybe legal ways as opposed to other ways? But the church is not the state, and we shouldn't try to be there in that lane, but we have a role to play in welcoming these people as our brothers and sisters in Christ. There are very few entities or agencies in the entire United States who have a relationship with the federal government and are able to actually be at the table to bring immigrants and refugees into the United States. LARS is one of only a handful of people who are able to do that with the federal government. But LARS is looking to congregations and members of the LCMS saying, we need long-term support for these people. We want the church to connect with them. We want the church to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. It's not enough to show the mercy of Christ just by setting the refugee and immigrant free, bringing them here to a new home and to a new life. Mm-hmm. We need to share with them the love of Christ, that they too are his children, created in his image, redeemed in word and sacrament. There is a life for them within the church. They are a part of the body of Christ. And congregations and our members have a wonderful opportunity to do that in partnership with LIRS.
It's not enough just to say, welcome to the land of opportunity, and then go find your dream, you know?
Well, exactly. And as an LIRS board member, this is one of the things that we talk about. How do we extend the period of time where we are able to walk alongside of these people? Mm-hmm. Because right now it's a relatively short period of time. But to really become part of the community, basic things like learning English or handling money or understanding how an education system works or anything, they need friends, they need a community, and it needs to be long-term. Mm-hmm. And congregations are, I think, probably the greatest place where that nurture and long-term relationship with these individuals can take place.
I had the privilege of seeing that happen in one of my former congregations, welcoming a refugee into the community and the congregation coming together to support him and to just surround him with the Christian love and help him get settled in and help him find a job for the to match his skill set and things like that. Just all those things that can be unsettling when you're trying to get settled in. And if we look at our history as Lutherans, most Lutherans, if not all Lutherans in this country, well,
we're immigrants.
Yeah, most of us, with the exception of the Native Americans who lived here who have now become Lutherans, most of us are immigrants. Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Many of us refugees.
We are a church of immigrants, and we are a nation of immigrants. And as someone who works now with National Mission, looking at the health and wellness and the future vitality of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we need to become more a church of immigrants. We need to be welcoming the entire world who is coming to our doorstep. We don't just have to send missionaries overseas to find African immigrants. Those folks are flooding into the United States by the hundreds of thousands, millions annually. And so there is a huge opportunity here for the church, for the face of the church to maybe reflect more the picture of heaven that John sees in his revelation of people of every nation, tribe, and race, and language that are all gathered around the throne. And these people are here, and we have a wonderful opportunity as the church to show the love and mercy of Christ to these people and walk alongside them and welcome.
We're talking with Reverend Bart Day from the Office of National Mission of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and Executive Board Member at Large for LIRS. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversation about the 75th anniversary of LIRS, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service here in the United States. Stick around for more His Time.
How would you answer the question, do Christians, Muslims, and Jews worship the same God? On a recent chat room on the internet, the answer was, yes, they do. We will discuss that on the next Law and Gospel and give you evidence why that is not true.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
One day, I'll teach chemistry to kids.
I'm going to be an architect.
My dream is to be a chef.
This is a world of possibilities. A world in which people who put their minds to something can really make a difference.
My goal is to help the environment.
Someday, I'll find a cure for cancer.
At the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Federal Student Aid, we believe that aspiring minds can achieve anything. So we dedicate ourselves to making sure everyone has an opportunity to go to college. Each year, we provide more than $150 billion in grants, loans, and work-study funds, making higher education possible for anyone at any stage of life.
I can go back to college.
I can change careers.
I can make a difference.
Federal Student Aid, proud sponsor of the American Mind. Learn more about money for college at studentaid.gov.
This is Jessica's journey.
Do you ever get dreadful hungry, sir?
Dear me. Bruises, eh?
Still not too bad. My bones broken.
Get out of my sight and never come back!
The story of a little girl's simple faith that changes the life of everyone in her world.
Do you think I could ever meet God?
Don't miss a story that will touch you and change you on the next Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We're talking with Reverend Bart Day from Office of National Mission here at the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and Executive Board Member at Large for Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. And we've been talking about LIRS and an exciting time, 75th anniversary for them this year, starting in 1939 and welcoming migrants and refugees. And just looking at the number of people that have been served, it's pretty significant. How many migrants and refugees have been served by LIRS?
In those 75 years, over 500,000.
Wow.
Migrants and refugees have been served. About 400,000 refugees, 10,000 migrants and refugee children. And they've also served over 100,000 individuals who are in immigrant detention. Over 4,000 of those who are survivors of torture.
And that's just in the past 75 years. Looking forward to this year with anticipation, I know you mentioned earlier that one of the groups that is a group of people that are being served are unaccompanied minors, refugee minors coming from other companies or other countries.
Yeah, and this was actually a great topic of conversation just at our last board meeting. There is an ever-growing number of unaccompanied, undocumented, minor children coming by themselves, unaccompanied, to the United States, primarily right now coming out of Guatemala and Honduras and El Salvador. Those children are telling the government that they are coming because they fear for their life. The drug cartels are no longer just in the big cities. They've come into the small rural farming communities. Gang violence is horrible. When they are approached, you know, by gangs and folks to join, if one chooses not to, then they expect they'll die. Mm-hmm. And they are fleeing out of the country by the tens and tens of thousands, by themselves, hundreds of miles, coming to the United States. So at this last board meeting, there was a conversation about the fact that the government is actually looking to LIRS whether they can handle more cases. Just last year, there were 25,000 of these children who were identified at the border and taken, you know, into care by the United States. There are estimates that this number can climb as high as 75,000 in this next calendar year. And that's 75,000 that will actually be detained. They'll be caught at the border trying to cross. And the government takes care of those children. Many of them are coming because a parent or a family member are here and they're trying to get to them. So this is putting a pretty big strain on things like foster care agencies and all the rest to help these children in the time while they're trying to reunite them or place them through foster care and adoption. So LARS is looking at, you know, how much of a role do they want to expand and work with those children? It's a horrible reality. It's symptomatic of other things that are probably beyond the direct control of organizations like LIRS. The federal government and others probably need to look very hard at what is happening there, causing this huge fleeing of children. But the United States is taking those children in and caring for them and providing services. And LIRS is a critical player in that. And I think sees themselves as, you know, wanting to help and expand that work. And so one of the pieces that have been discussed with LIRS for the 75th anniversary would be a campaign within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to really identify and raise up parents to do foster care, especially for these children. Mm-hmm. It would be a wonderful opportunity for LCMS families to open their doors to help care for these children. A great opportunity.
An opportunity to show them the love of Christ, to welcome them into their families, to provide for their needs. Because if it's not there, what happens to these children?
Well, as I understand, in the last few years, in the state of Texas, the government reopened a decommissioned Air Force base so that they could house thousands and thousands of these children there. So they have to keep them somewhere. And if they're overpopulating the system for foster care, the government still has to provide at least some short-term immediate care for them as they put them into the system. So this is it's a huge opportunity. It's a huge challenge. But a great blessing perhaps to the church, as you said, to be able to show the love and mercy of Christ to these children who are certainly coming into the country broken and hurting and looking for refuge.
It's a frightening picture to think that in your own, as a child, in your own country, in your own hometown, things are so bad that you feel you have to travel hundreds of miles to find safety and freedom.
And it's a horrible thing that in many of those cases, their parents have felt so strongly the need to care for their families that they actually left their families and fled into the United States to try to find something better to then bring their families here too.
That's just what a picture. But LIRS is certainly working to provide that support and that encouragement. And the more partners, the more LCMS families who can provide that partnership and that encouragement, the foster families, as you said.
Right, absolutely.
Is a great thing.
The other one that probably should be mentioned is that there is a wonderful opportunity for our congregations and members to be equipped and trained to go to detention centers and actually make visitation. These people who are detained sometimes for fairly long periods of time in detention centers or sometimes just in local county jails, they have little connection. They have no access to kind of the justice system. They're there. And there's a great opportunity. And there are many congregations already partnering with LIRS to make detention visits, to make connections with these people, even while they're being detained, working through the process of coming into the United States, so that there's already that connection as they're coming out of detention to walk with us.
Sure. So they're welcoming, you know, loving families and open arms to welcome them and help them get established and help them
absolutely
get on their feet so that they're not just set up for failure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You mentioned that a lot of the miners that are coming here are coming from Honduras, Guatemala, and other places in Central America. Would it be helpful, families who Spanish is a second language or maybe even a first language for them, would they be good
They would
candidates?
Be prime. Yeah. That would be the ideal folks that we would find. If we have Spanish-speaking families, that would be the slam dunk if those families would be willing to help and serve.
How can our listeners find out more about what's going on with LIRS, how they could be supportive, maybe even go, you know, help out at, or make visits at detention centers, how congregations could become involved in this?
Right. Two things will happen. One, they can just go to LIRS.org, find all kinds of stuff on their website, ways to volunteer, ways to serve. We also are working with LIRS right now to roll out a special kit, kind of a toolkit that's going to come out.
Cool.
It's going to go to all congregations of the LCMS. We are going to encourage people as part of the 75th to celebrate June 22nd, which is Refugee Sunday. We're going to provide all kinds of materials to congregations, everything from prayers for the divine service, reading, some homiletical helps, lots of stuff for Bible studies, stories about immigrants and refugees who've come here and the wonderful things that they're now doing. So there's going to be a whole toolkit that's going to come with information. So one, congregations should look to have that in just the coming, I would say probably in the coming month. Those materials will be coming to every congregation of the LCMS. And we know that not everybody can do Refugee Sunday on June 22nd. Pick another Sunday. Find ways for your local congregation to connect with the network of support with LIRS. That's really what the 75th anniversary is all about.
Now, some might think that your congregation needs to be, you know, a city or maybe a suburban congregation to do this. Not necessarily the case, right?
No, absolutely not the case.
You could be, you know, one of those rural or small town congregations to support LIRS, to welcome refugees to
absolutely. And what we're finding more and more is that there are immigrants and refugees and migrant workers all over rural America in places that you would not expect them, where Lutheran congregations are having wonderful opportunities to reach out with the gospel to a group of immigrant people that they maybe have never encountered before. So it's the people are coming, and they're coming everywhere in the United States. And I think there are opportunities for nearly every congregation to be involved at some level with the work of LIRS.
We've got just a little bit of time left, but I know there are a couple of other events that are around the 75th anniversary that are coming up this year that I thought we might like to mention. The Walk of Courage Award Gala that's coming up in June as well, right before Refugee Sunday. Anything about that you might like to share?
Well, it's just going to be a wonderful evening, I think, for LIRS to really celebrate with all the churches the work that they've done. So that's going to be in Washington, D.C., June 19th. Certainly, folks are invited to attend that event. Going to be a lot of great speakers there, former immigrants and refugees who've done amazing things here in the United States and have gone on to have wildly successful careers and lives, NBA players and professional models. And just, it's going to be a great evening to really celebrate not just the work of LIRS, but to celebrate those who they serve and the wonderful success stories that they have had once they've been welcomed here in the United States. So it'll be a great night.
And that info is also on the LIRS website. I see it on the banner on the top there, and it's at the Hilton Balmer.
There you go.
Hilton Baltimore, but for all my Baltimore friends, I have to say Hilton Balmer.
There you go.
And then also another event, World Refugee Day Leadership and Advocacy event. That's coming up. I don't know the exact date of that, but the leaders, it looks like we'll be getting together for that.
That is coming up. This is where LIRS gathers church leaders from all across the United States, and we'll have several folks from the LCMS. We have some district presidents who, of course, have been highly involved with LIRS because of the immigrants and refugees in their districts and work that congregations are doing. But getting other lay people and men and women in the LCMS to be at that event where they're really able to hear what is going on. And I think advocacy is an important thing to say kind of at the end here. Mm-hmm. LIRS is working in advocacy. In Washington, D.C., comprehensive immigration has been passed through the Senate. It's not going to come comprehensively through the House. There are roads too far for the House. They're concerned about some important immigrant and refugee issues, but LIRS continues to do advocacy, particularly to not forget about the refugees, human trafficking, those kind of torture survivors, and keeping families together. So the immigration policies in the United States are not well. They can be greatly improved, and LIRS continues to advocate for those improvements.
We've been talking with Reverend Bart Day, Executive Director of the Office of National Mission here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and Executive Board Member at Large for Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. You can find out more at LIRS.org. Thanks, Bart Day, for being with us this morning here on
His Time. Hey, thank you for having me on this morning. It's been great.
God's blessings to you.
God's peace.